The Everhart Museum in Scranton is home to an extensive collection of Dorflinger glass. Dorflinger cut glass, as we're told, was produced here in northeastern Pennsylvania from 1852 to 1921, tableware of international renown. So fine was its reputation that it was sought after by 8 U.S. presidents, from Abraham Lincoln to Woodrow Wilson, and select royalty from Europe. As part of the reimagining of the museum's second floor in the past year, we learn that instead of being part of a decorative arts showcase, there is now a Dorflinger glass gallery. When we walk through an exhibition of such exquisite glass with artistically designed lighting, we're struck by the beauty of the crystalline glass. We might even catch bits of our own reflection in some of the larger pieces. And of course we can't touch, but we might long to lift the lovely, seemingly fragile, transparent, reflective shapes surrounding us. As we approach another gallery at the Everhart, we'll be asked about our fragility, our beauty, our many facets. As a result of the reimagining of the Everhart's second floor, a temporary gallery has developed, and it houses exhibitions on display for short-term runs. Right now, the temporary gallery is hosting a site-specific exhibit titled Ourself, a Reflection of Us, prepared by Scranton's pop-up studio. There is glass in this space too, but rather a looking glass, a mirror. Upon entering, the viewer is taken on a journey through a series of emotional and sensory experiences in order to create a dialogue and to develop empathy about the issue and conditions of mental health. And what happens when we look into this mirror? Writer Sue Jackson says, "I search my eyes, trying to discover who I am. Who is this person looking back so intently at me? I am many things. Some of them I know and recognize as I look back at myself, but others are strange to me, suggesting that the images in the mirror are not necessarily to be taken as a simple reflection of reality. What about the distorted lenses we may wear that reflect stereotypes of our society? Do we really see ourselves clearly?" Often, gaining a sense of self-worth and autonomy against such dominant images and the values they represent can be difficult. An exhibit like the one at the Everhart can ask us to look into the shadows of the mirror and to notice how the judgments we make about our reflection presented there are influenced by those who haunt these shadows. That from Christina Hughes in Women's Contemporary Lives. Ourself, a Reflection of Us, in conjunction with the exhibition Herself, Through the Eyes of Amy Kaiser, presented by the pop-up studio, will run through April at the Everhart Museum at Naog Park in Scranton. There will be an opening reception this Thursday, February 7th, from 6 to 8. And in anticipation of the event, Val Kaiser of the pop-up studio, Francesca Saldan, newly appointed curator at the Everhart, and Tony Grigas, volunteer coordinator and programs assistant at the Everhart, paid a visit to the WVIA studios to introduce us to the pop-up studio and to talk about the shows. Val Kaiser.
The pop-up studio is a collaborative group of artists and young professional creative thinkers that first organized to create special interactive art installations that were part social and part art kind of community happenings around Lackawanna County, essentially.
You have whimsy.
Yeah, some were really crazy. I mean, the very first one was actually one of my very favorite ones. It was called Sugar. And the tagline was, "Sugar, can I borrow a cup?" I can't remember exactly what it was. It was 8 years ago. But It was very exciting. We actually went into a vacant space, one of the downtown spaces, and we brought in thousands of cardboard boxes that we collected for months, collected these cardboard boxes. And then we arranged them into these cubes that took over the entire space, floor to wall. We made these caves that people could climb around into. And then the thing was that people had to bring a cup of sugar to the exhibit, and then they could interact with these things that we built and then kind of display them. And they had to bring it in a special vessel. It couldn't just be a cup. It had to be some like special thing just to make it even more fun. So it was really amazing. There was a snowstorm. It was in January. I believe it was 8 years ago. I didn't really have to look back at my notes, but we didn't know if anybody would even come. It was some crazy new initiative. We were inviting people to, you know, bring a cup of sugar to this thing that they didn't even know what it was. And we had like 100 and some people, and it was really amazing. And it did exactly what we wanted to. People were talking to people they wouldn't necessarily talk to. And it was really like, it was really beautiful. So it was one of my most favorite exhibits.
And I remember another one, people being in, again, some sort of space where they could say something that they might not say to somebody else. It was more serious in that it had to do with intimacy.
No, it was called intimacy. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I think we did 11 events the very first year. The next year we did 10. And then I think that we committed because we realized that we were overextending ourselves. I think we did 6 a year after that. But we've done quite a few. I forgot about intimacy. It was a space where there was these things divided up, and then you would go into these different kind of situations, and you would have to do these very intimate things with people, strangers, essentially, and to see how people navigated through that and to be able to interact with somebody on a kind of like a new level.
Now, what was the genesis of Ourself?
So Ourself, the pop-up studio, has been kind of dissolved over the past 2 years. And a year ago, I lost my sister, who was an artist, but she was also a survivor of a traumatic assault and domestic violence. She suffered then PTSD, insomnia, depression, anxiety, and then she ended her own life last December. And, you know, sometime after she passed, I was photographing her artwork that I had seen for, you know, almost 2 decades. And I was looking at it, and she created this whole collection of women shortly after and like kind of processing through this trauma that she experienced. She used these color washes and these beautiful lines that overlapped her subject matter. And I was just thinking, she did this series of etchings in particular. And so the first etching was of a woman, and then she added these layers because I think there's five. There's about 5 individual etchings per woman. I think there's 25 or 30 total, 7 different women. So anyway, I was photographing them, looking from the first one all the way to the last one. And then just like how the woman was so very clear in the very first one. And then by the time you got to the last image, it was just so covered in all these different layers. So I thought to myself, this is so beautiful. It's so powerful, tragic, but powerful in the way that do all survivors feel like this? Is this a symbol that they have lost their voice in society, and then they're fighting to kind of navigate their way now as this new person? So I kind of reached out to the Women's Resource Center because I thought that that could be valid there. And then I met with them. They said, you should reach out to the Everhart. And I'm like, well, those are my people. So so I reached out, and I just presented the artwork and this idea that we could maybe do something bigger, that it would have a more social community impact, because that's so important. And Aurora and Steph Colarusso, who's the programming director, she and I and the rest of the pop-up studio, like, we've always wanted to work together in some way, shape, or form. And then it just fell into this perfect kind of time slot. And so I left there knowing that we wanted to do something on a more community kind of scaled event. And I knew who to contact. So I left there immediately. I sent a mass text out to all of the pop-up studio. And I said, I know that you're all very busy. There's this opportunity at the Everhart. Do you want to pursue that? Every single one of them said yes. And we've been meeting every week almost since a year ago. And the point of Ourself was really to create this umbrella for the community, to create a safe space, and to kind of be the touching point to allow the community to come in and create this empathetic kind of conversation around mental health. We feel like the conversation about mental health is very overdue. And so we're just hoping that people that have any form of anxiety or depression, individuals and families, will feel that this is normal. It's a normal feeling to have. And we're hoping that they'll be able to reach out for help if they need the help.
And what then came out of these meetings is a sense that you'll display the work that you've just described so beautifully for us.
Correct. Yes. So herself, a reflection through the eyes of Amy Kaiser, will be in Gallery 1 at the Everhart. And it is the body of work that I just described that was the impetus for Ourself, which is the interactive installation the pop-up studio created at the Everhart.
And that will be text, that will be giving us a chance to approach the work with...
So Ourself, yes, this is a great question. Ourself, just like a typical pop-up studio event, we want to present an environment that people can visually experience, but also physically experience. And so, yes, we've created this environment that you would walk into these galleries, four large galleries, and there are five stations, and the viewer is invited to travel clockwise through the gallery spaces, visiting each station. And each station kind of represents a different stage in a person's life, or even an hour or a month in a person's life. And so they can look inside the mirror and they'll be able to move these sliding panels that are 8 feet tall behind them, 8 feet tall by 20 feet wide.
And will there be opportunities to leave feedback for you and for the museum, places to write, or we go home and write about our experience?
You know, that is a great question. And throughout the entire year, we tried to facilitate some way that we could even incorporate public interaction within the exhibit. And it didn't work out. But we still want to be able to capture the feedback because we think that people's perspectives and people's own experience will be so valid. I think we're still working on how we can do that, whether it's something that you write a note and then you just drop it into a box and then it's a private kind of shared experience, or it can be posted in public. Once it gets installed, I think that we'll know the proper placement of this thing and how it can be shared, whether it's on social media or if it's inside the gallery spaces that are safe.
Francesca, you have an anthropology background. Is there anything in other cultures, ancient cultures, that this particular project might evoke?
Well, there are definitely examples of art in a lot of cultures that is not meant to last. It's meant to be used, and it's actually meant to be broken. As museums, that's something that I think we actively fight against because we want to preserve the things in our collection, but oftentimes different peoples will create things with the intention of using them and actually having them be this temporary piece in their living history. So I think it's definitely plausible. And I think exhibits like this in their temporary state are really, really useful for the community and so community-based, which is something that the Everhart, I think, definitely is well-suited for.
If I can continue off what Francesca just said, that's another kind of initiative that we've been taking at the Everhart. It's more about art is a reaction. No matter what you're painting or drawing, you are reacting to something that has inspired you to create art. And whether it's meant to be seen or not to be seen or to be used or not to be used, there's still another reaction from a viewer. And that's something that, you know, is almost just as important as the actual act of creating the art is having your reaction to it. And so I think that's really evident in the pop-up studio exhibit that's happening with Ourself is you're putting yourself in somebody else's shoes and you're having your own interaction with it. And additionally, that's something that, once again, as we reopen, something that we have implemented in the upstairs galleries is to have your reaction noted in some sort. We're having more human interaction. There's subtle things that help you as a patron of the arts to experience a gallery in a different way. Like, it's not just look at the and read the text. Although we did read the text a little bit, we're kind of a little bit more fun to see, read them all. But there's more of an interaction aspect. There's a prompt. Find something hideous and find beauty in it. There is, you know, a popularity contest, if you will. Like, find your favorite piece and tell people about it. Photograph on Instagram. Share it on Facebook. We have one of our Roman antiquity pieces of A Bathing Venus. We have changed it into a place where you can kind of almost like a wishing well style idea, where you can write a note for something you're hoping and kind of praise Venus and hope for the best to occur. So there's a little bit more interaction than you would see if you were just walking through a gallery. There's more for you as a patron and a viewer to notice that you're noticing. It's not just look at art, read the panel, move on, see how you like a piece and how you don't like a piece, and let that little interaction that you have with yourself or your family move on. But you get to experience it in a different way and even leave a little note about what your action is.
And Val, in the many experiences you all have had at Pop-Up, what about this sense of creating a space that is safe for people to venture where they may not ordinarily go?
That was a great question, because this is the very first time we've ever had the opportunity to have something be lasting for 3 months. The Pop-Up Studio was only a one-time experience, so meaning that we would spend a year or months creating this experience that lasted for 3 hours. And we feel that because the Everhart has such a strong community presence and already provides that kind of venue of safety for all different demographics, different ages, different races, everybody, it was the perfect venue for this. And we also really love the space itself, because their mirror images of the space is a mirror kind of reflection of one another. So it also provides kind of the safety net, and it's upstairs. So the space itself feels safe. It's elevated. The location, the institution, the message that we are delivering, we spent an entire year kind of just working through how it could be a safe environment for those people that are visiting. We had a lot of different contributors and consultants from different organizations, counselors that dealt with, you know, depression and emotions and how people could respond to those things as they're walking through. So we will have resource advocates for all the public and the public programming, and for any special kind of educational programming that happens throughout those 3 months for people that might have some sort of emotion come up and just need to have some sort of guided kind of direction as to how to get that proper help that they might need.
And so ancillary activities then?
Yes, we are planning several different activities coming up in the future, which we're really excited about, because this is a topic that needs to be discussed and it needs to be noticed, which I think is really relevant, especially in today's society. So we're having an Our Self Community Day, which is going to be taking place on February 16th, and it's free to the public. And so during this time, you'll have the opportunity to come check out the exhibit, check out the new gallery, the new spaces. And along with this, with the free admission all day, between the hours of 1 and 4, we're going to be having on-site tours, an open studio art making workshop. And we're also going to be having advocates from the Lou Rusby Jr. Foundation will be joining us, which is a foundation devoted to suicide awareness. In the future, we'll be having a panel featuring members from the community, as well as, once again, those advocates from the Lou Rusby Jr. Foundation, discussing things like mental health issue, mental health stigma, and so forth. Things that really are hard to talk about, that need to be talked about, and need to be approached in a safe manner.
And in that regard, Val, you very much want this to be an open-ended experience.
When we were in the planning stages, our very first statement about this exhibit was, we do not want this exhibit to answer anything. We're not answering a question for anyone or a society. We are only posing questions, and that is all. So I feel like we kept true to that integrity.
Val Kaiser of the Pop-Up Studio, coordinator of these shows, Francesca Saldan, who is newly appointed curator at the Everhart Museum, and Tony Grigas, Everhart volunteer coordinator and programs assistant. They all paid a visit to the WVIA studios to talk with us about Ourself, a reflection of us, a site-specific visual exhibition in the temporary gallery at the museum on the second floor, and Herself through the eyes of Amy Kaiser, a series of paintings and lithographic prints. These shows will run through April 2019 at the Everhart Museum, 1901 Mulberry Street, Naog Park in Scranton. For more information, everhart-museum.org, E-V-E-R-H-A-R-T, everhart-museum.org. You can find them on Facebook, too. There will be an opening reception this Thursday, February 7th, from 6 to 8 p.m. Reservations are required. You're welcome to call area code 570-346-7186, 346-7186. And as we heard Tony just say, Our Self Community Day, Saturday, February 16th. For more information on the web, everheart-museum.org. Ourself, a reflection of us and herself through the eyes of Amy Kaiser, on exhibit at the Everhart Museum, Mulberry Street, Neog Park in Scranton for 3 months, and the opening reception is this Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. Reservations are required on the web, everheart-museum.org, everheart-museum.org.